Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what's going on with this switchboard. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm trying to, I don't even see any callers. I don't know what's going on. It figures this would happen. But, hey, I'm here trying to do this show. Give me a second. I'm rebooting Blog Talk. If you can hear me, hey, I'm here. I know this sounds crazy. Hold on. Can you hear me? Justin, can you hear? I see your number, but can you hear me talking? Okay, good. All right, I'm rebooting. Give me a second. Because I'm here. I'm here. I'm muting myself because I'm talking out loud, so I'm here.
Let's go, let's go. For those of you who don't know me, just I'll take your tsunami. Compensating from NYC, so you're never gonna suit this beat. So when I call you out, you better get your life so the girls can hit that floor. So swing your man, can't forget the dick, so the dudes can't give me a score. Just give me the beat, cause I'm about to go in. Yes, I say, I'm at it again. The twisted chanter is on the mic. I got you, bitch, so you know you alright. Yes, I represent the new school. Back on up, get up off my truth. What you do to vote, get my shoes. You can't vote, so get a clue.
This is the soft and feminine, this is the soft and cunt. The cunt feminine, put these on the fist, Philly, which is all hot, eat it for me, NYC, Jersey and DC. Welcome, are you ready, bitch? Let's serve. Soft is the best, but soft and cunt. Give it to me and pass the blunt.
I got dressed back up my back for a ball I heard was in Rome. So I got to the ball, I served all the girls, but I couldn't find my way home. So I called for my girlfriend back in the city, and I thought I had to make my change. When I said, bitch, I need you to do me a favor, bitch, I need you to send me a plane. Roar, bitch, call me a cab. Roar, bitch, call me a train. Roar, bitch, call me a cab, cause I'm going insane in my brain.
I got every remedy, not this used to work for me. I'm damn bitch, so damn bitch. How you gonna fix it, fix it, fix it? How you gonna fix it, fix it, app? How you gonna fix it, fix it, fix it? How you gonna fix it, fix it,
digital cable, box a lot of channels whenever you're able. AC is free. When you wanna call for $25.95, you get on a chain. 877-393-4448.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, bitch, when's your birthday? Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, girl, what's your zodiac sign?
And that's the fun, this beat is sick. I wanna take a vow on my disco stick. Don't think too much, just bust that click. Wanna take a vow on my disco stick. I never had nobody show me all the change. You show me in the switcher with a fool, nigga. We will always be together, baby, that's what you told me. I will leave you, I never had nobody to be like you. I never had nobody to be like you. I never had nobody to be like you. I never had nobody to be like you, like you, like you. Yeah, bling bling, boy, you wanna be in my drum? Be in my drum, you know I come, come. Bling bling, boy, you wanna be in my drum? Be in my drum, cause you know I come, come. Out, cock, 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 cock,
cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, cock, c
Wake up, the sunshine is LaBeija, bitch. I'm a Taurus, so you know it going hard as shit. Ain't no way I'm trying to deal, I'm on some profit shit. But at least you get to witness when I'm profiting. I got a full clip, I'm trying to make some hits. How you still trying to hate when you ain't got no win? Oh, you tripping, girl, you better go and tie your tip. Trying to vote, getting no coin, time to dip, bitch. LaBeija, name ring bells, US to Asia. I'm so fly, I line the runway. Trying to mock grand prize, come on, cut, nice try. Your boy claiming he no homer, but he cop blocking. I had to jump on IG so he could download me. I got a new single coming, plus the movie too. I wanna see what you gon' do when I come for you.
I'm a fat bitch, fuck your click. Bitch toss slick, I'ma snatch your wig. I'm a fat bitch, suck them click. If that bitch toss slick, I'll ambush the bitch. I'll run up the bitch, I'll gut the bitch. Had to fuck up the bitch, man, fuck this bitch. Won't fuck this bitch, but fuck this bitch. When I say but fuck, dig up the bitch. She was stuck up, my nigga stuck up the bitch. Still dragging her, so don't trick it up the bitch. Get the combination to the safe, crack the bitch. Lock the whole operation, choke hold the bitch. LaBeija, name ring bells, US to Asia. I'm so fly, I line the runway. Trying to mock grand prize, come on, cut, nice try.
Yo, it's your boy Izzy Stars LaBeija. You're tuned in to Juicing with the J's, hosted by Jason LaBeija.
Good evening. Happy New Year. How the hell is everyone? I know we have been gone for quite a while. Shit, like, I think since before Thanksgiving. But we're here. We will not be here for a very long time, but we will be here long enough to discuss a lot. There is a lot that we need to catch up on. I don't even really want to where to start. It's just, it's going to be one of those thought-provoking type shows, so you might want to tell a friend, get a friend, fix your drink, do whatever you need to do, because tonight I am not holding back. I've said it time and time again. The ballroom needs an enema. This is not Kelly. As you can see, it says Juicing with the J's. This is a Tuesday night show. So if you're here for Kelly, you might as well go. And in 2019, I am not... pulling Trump cards. I'm not being nice. I'm not playing the PC game. It's going to be what it's going to be. Who are you? That's the question. Who are you? In fact, I'm not even going to respond to you. This is what I can do for you. Bye. That's how we're doing 2019. let me bring you on, Justin. How are you? Happy New Year. Why am I saying Happy New Year to you? Happy New Year, Justin.
Happy New Year. Before we get started, hold on. I just want to do a moment of silence for my college classmate, Tiff. She passed, within the last week. And she was a real female. She was one of my coolest friends in college or whatever. So I just want to do a rest in peace to her first before we start. So just give me just a second. Okay. I'm good, Jason. How are you doing?
I'm all right. It's been so much. I don't even know where I really want us to start, where we need to start, because I know that we see things differently, and that's why I love you. We can agree to disagree on certain situations. I'm not pinning the number. Ms. Corner, I'm not pinning the number. I advertise we will not be here for a long time. Because the funny thing is, you hit me in the inbox, can you do a show? I do a show, and it's just like me and Justin having a phone conversation that we could have had without being on live camera. I'm not, and in 2019, I'm not doing that. In fact, we're going to go over the list of the things that we're not doing in 2019 so that we just get them out the way. In 2019, I'm not going back and forth with people that don't matter to me. In 2019, I'm not going back and forth with you people that are not paying my bills, putting food in my house. Hey, you're just not doing anything. I'm not going back and forth with you. Hey, Kelly, how are you? In 2019, it's no more, I'm not doing your dirty work for you. If I got a problem with somebody, it's my problem, and I will address them. I'm not reading your messages. Justin's not reading your messages. If somebody else comes on and they want to read your message because they want to read your message, then they can do it. But I'm not reading messages. Justin's not reading messages. Shelly's not reading messages. So you cannot. Don't inbox, pick up the phone, and call. We're going back to the original way this show and these shows ran. You're going to pick up the phone, and you're going to call. There is no reason T-Mobile ain't charging you that 1 cent a minute. Verizon is not charging you that 2 cent a minute. There is no reason for you to not be able to call the number that you need to call into and speak your mind. So, with that being said, a lot has happened since November to now, and a lot more will probably happen between then and then. I don't even know where we want to start. I know that I need a drink,
okay.
A real stiff one, because
I
really need a real stiff drink because of the surviving. And let me just, and I guess I'm
okay.
And I'm just going to go right there. Let me say this. We can agree to disagree about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
The same way I can separate what Bill Cosby did from who Bill Cosby was off stage and in his personal life, I can separate the two. I can separate the two between from R. Kelly. I am not defending, no way, shape, form, or fashion will I ever defend what R. Kelly has done, because I am a survivor of rape and a survivor of child molestation. So I will never on any platform defend what R. Kelly did, just take
mm-hmm.
his side in that situation.
Okay,
Where is this going? I will never call myself a victim, because if I was a victim, I would still be weak, I would still be crying, and I wouldn't be living my life. Like I said, I am a survivor. This past week, I have watched and seen so much on Facebook and seen so many people on this. You would have thought that it was election. Well, it is election time. You would have thought that it was election time again, because you got this side and that side, and nobody's seeing the middle. And there's a bigger picture here that some see and some don't see. There are some that's going to say, well, we as a whole, as a community, didn't look after these little black girls. And let me stop you and let me say this right now. This is not just about little black girls, as far as I am concerned. Because the same thing that's happening to these little black girls is also happening to little black boys. So I am going to be the voice for those little black boys that nobody is going to talk about, because everybody wants to say, well, we didn't protect these little girls. Well, you didn't protect children, period, in any of this situation. I did not watch episode one. I didn't watch the ending episode. I didn't have to watch it because everybody on Facebook talked about it. My problem with it is that what I found the most amusing was that there are so many people in Baltimore. And I'm not going to be the voice for Ballroom and say those names, because for one, if I know who you are and I know who they are, you all know who they are. You all have sat with them, had dinner with them, probably smoked coke with them, done all types of things with them. You know who these predators are. We all know who these predators are. And I have made a stance, and I'm going to stand by it. If I know, allegedly, if I know that you are a predator, promoter, friend, or foe, if I know for a fact that you are a predator,
I cannot stand by. I will not support anything that you do. I won't. So there are laws that are coming up, and since they have not paid for promotion, I won't discuss, say the name, but there are balls that are coming up that I will not be attending because of the people that are promoting. With that being said, Justin, I know that you had quite a lot to say this week in regards to the Pied Piper. We haven't really even had a chance to sit down and discuss this, so this is going to be fresh. So me hearing your view, me hearing your side, and then you hearing my side is going to be new. Well, not it's going to be new for us and new for them because we didn't even have a chance to discuss this with
right. After a point with R. Kelly, it was maddening. But here's the thing. At this point, to me, after watching that whole docuseries, I don't know who is worse. Who is the parents for putting their children out there like that? Like, whose child is just jet-setting around the world and just everywhere? Whose child has somebody just coming and visited them at the high school? They coming to hang out. What grown-ass man is doing some shit like that? Like, what the whole scenario, and then to have the tour manager was basically saying they were supplying him with them. You know what I'm saying? So by the end of the series, it just made you feel gross all the way around because, you know, obviously this man had a problem, and instead of the tour people or the people that he was actually, I guess, assigned to getting him help, they just let him do what he wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? As long as he kept on churning out hits and making money. It was sick. It was sick. That was the nastiest thing. But I think the worst thing of the week for me, the week so far, has been the black community and their indifference to it and them trying to find ways to defend it. And that's the most disgusting part of it because in a turn, they're finding ways to defend it. And then they're attacking the victims. And now two of them indeed. Now, it's a couple people that was on that show, if we're going to be completely brutally honest, that were, okay, look, if you were over the age of 25 in that situation dealing with him, and everybody knew what had gone on prior to the sex tape stuff like that, you had to know it was a problem with this man to a certain degree. You feel what I'm saying? Mm. Like, one of them girls, she went to it. But the rest of the girls that he had in his, like, harem, and then to see the mother have to go get the daughter, and the daughter breaking down, And then you gotta think about it. Well, I can't listen to so-and-so no more. I can't listen to this music because all of this stuff is now tainted with this thought of what he was thinking to produce this music.
Right.
It's gross.
I mean, I saw there was like somebody made a post or some news thing made a post where they took 10 of his songs or 12 of his songs and they broke them down verse by verse, what made you think that in his music that he was saying in his music he was saying certain things and giving you clues to what he was really doing to begin with. I mean, my thing in this situation is this. I don't exactly remember the exact year that sex tape came out because all I remember about that sex tape, to tell you the truth, is I never saw it. To this day, I've never seen it. All I remember about that sex tape is that I was in a barbershop, and a guy came, and this clearly was VHS. So the guy came in a barbershop. And he was like, yo, I got that. Well, it was like, yo, I got that R. Kelly, whatever. And it was like grown-ass men. Like, yeah, put it in. And I literally got up and left out the barbershop. And I made a post on my page. Like, I didn't have to see the R. Kelly thing, because I live the R. Kelly thing. In your neighborhood, in your city, in your town, we all lived it. I've been in a barbershop, and I've heard grown ass men talking about shit. Well, if she get her period, she a grown woman. And I'm saying to myself that is somebody, you are old enough to be that girl's father, uncle, or whatever, but if she get her period, you was 32. Whatever, Mona. What I'm not going to do is what Kelly did with you yesterday and go back and forth. I'm not. because I was not. So, it bothers me. But in the same token, I have had male friends tell me stories like, yeah, my baby, I was like 9, and my babysitter made me finger pop. And I looked at them, and not in disgust, but I looked at them like, did you realize that you were molested, that was wrong? And they got it, but they didn't get it. And one of the biggest problems that I had is that I'm not, at 16, I was fat. I can admit that at 16, I was fat.
Mm-hmm.
At 15, I was fat. I was fat in the sense that I had already had my virtue taken away from me because of being raped and molested. I was molested until I was 13 years old. So I had already knew what sex was, but to give myself to somebody willingly and not have them take it was something different. And I didn't willingly give myself to someone until I was 21. So that's when I tell people I didn't lose my virginity. As far as I'm concerned, I didn't lose my virginity until I was 21, because at 21 was when I made the conscious decision that this person I wanted to have sex with.
He gave that girl mononucleosis.
Hey, Susan. Happy New Year, Susan. So I'm going to start this with one of the things that have pissed me off is people saying, well, these kids were grown, these girls was hiding ass. I can remember grown-ass men with Maximas, because Maxima was the thing in Baltimore. I can remember grown-ass men with Maximas coming up to the high school and picking the girls up. I can remember grown-ass men and Maximas coming up to the high school and picking some of the boys up. I can remember those things. Were those things right? No. I'm about to share. So I remember the first man, this man pursued me, and he didn't finally get me, Justin, until I was 23. But this man pursued me from the age of 15. Now, Justin, you've seen me, and some of you all have seen me. I'm tall. I've always been tall. I was the tallest person. I think I was like 5'9 in kindergarten.
Oh, my God.
And so I've always been tall. So I could get away with a lot. Now, my face was young, but I could get away with a lot because I was tall. I met this guy, and I'm not going to say his name because he's alive, and he's actually one of my Facebook friends. I met this guy when I was like 15, and I was down the harbor. I was with some of my friends. And I had walked away from my friends to do something. And he approached me. And he was with a grown woman. He was with a woman. Well, actually, the woman came up to me and was like, hey, how are you? Da-da-da. Started having a conversation. And I was like, okay, this is weird. And she was like, my friend would like to meet you. And I'm like, okay, never had this happen to me before. And we walk over to our friend, and he was like, hey, how you doing? And I looked at him, and I was like, okay, this guy's old enough to be not my oldest brother, because he wasn't old enough to be my, well, later found out he was old enough to be my father. But he didn't look it. So started talking, and then he was like, you down here by us? And I'm like, no, I'm with my friends. And then my friends came over, and they was like, Jason, we getting ready to leave. Because we all had curfew. So now I'm standing in front of this man, and I'm trying to be big and bold and not like, yeah, I got a curfew and I need to get home and whatever, whatever. So He was like, how old are you? And I said, 16. And she looked at him. The woman looked at him. He looked at her. And she said, he's a baby. And I kind of blushed. So he was like, I'm going to give you my, can I have your phone number? And I was like, no, but I'll take yours. He gave me his phone number. I said, you do realize that I'm 16. And I was, he was like, yeah, like that. So a week or two go by, and I finally call him. And he was like, hey, what are you doing? I was like, nothing. I'm getting ready to go get my hair cut. And he was like, where? And I was like, I don't know, my barber. He was like, well, I cut hair. Come to my shop. And I was like, huh? And he was like, yeah, I cut hair. I cut hair. Come to my shop. It's not that person. And and so I got in the cab and I went to his shop and he cut my hair. Then we went to Moe's. He took me to Moe's to eat. And of course, he tried to get me to drink, but I was like, now mind you, Justin, I could drink in the house because my mother already made sure that I knew how to drink so that when I went out to drink, people couldn't get me drunk. So I knew how to drink, but I wasn't drinking. So we ate at Moe's, and he dropped me, got in the cab, and he dropped me off in my house, and that was that. Then, and that went on for about a month or two. So then he started to get, try to get aggressive with, like, I've been cutting your hair, I've been doing this, and stuff like that. You ain't even give me a kiss yet. And I'm like, well, one, I'm in my mind, I'm saying, well, one, I haven't even really, really kissed the boy yet. Mm-hmm. Other than playing house and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is moving a little too fast for me. So, and I didn't have the girlfriends like you and the girlfriends that I have now. I didn't have girlfriends then. So at 15, it was just me because I was in the arena players. So I didn't really, I was, when I say I was green, I was green. And yes, Moni, he did put his dick on my arm quite a few times. And,
oh, my goodness.
And, right, and it was, and it'd be like little things like that. Like when we were in Moe's, we would sit, and I mean, like, and I thought this was like the fabulous shit because back then, this was like the early 90s, Justin. So back then, for two men, or a man and a boy, because I was a boy, for a man and a boy to be in a restaurant and y'all both sitting on the side and he got his arm around your waist under the table and he's trying to put your hand on his dick under the table.
Y'all was carrying.
It, right. It was like, wow. And in my mind, and in my mind, I knew these things. Don't get me wrong, listeners. Don't get me wrong, Justin. In my mind, I already knew that these things were wrong. And my mother had already said, Jason, don't play with fire because eventually you're going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
So months go by, and he started to be like, so when are you going to give me that, And I'm like, he was like, I know you're a virgin and da-da-da-da-da, but when you, we've been da-da-da-da-da, I'm your boyfriend. And I'm like, no, I got a boyfriend, and he in high school, and I'm in high school. That's my boyfriend. You just somebody that cut my hair, and I'm hanging out with. We don't go together. And I can't go with you. So one day, my mother was cleaning my room, and you know my mother was a school teacher. So one day, my mother was cleaning my room, and she found my journal. Well, I called it a diary, but boys supposed to call it a journal. She found my journal, and everything that happened in my life was in that journal. So everything about him, us going out to eat, him trying to finger pop me under the table, him trying to play with my nipples in the movies, all this kind of stuff was in this journal.
Mm-hmm.
Along with his phone number. So my mother called him. And he answered the phone, and they had this conversation. And my mother said, well, how old are you? Or whatever. And he told my mother how old he was. My mother said, well, do you know how old my child is? And he said, yeah. And my mother said, so you ready to take care of my son? And he told my mother, Justin, and if my mother was alive, I would call her because, baby, this story about to get hot. He told my mother that he could take care of me better than she ever could. You never got to meet Sandra Edwards Rigby. But Sandra Edwards Rigby, if you think my mouth and my attitude is something, you needed to meet my mother. So my mother said, well, if that's how you feel, when he gets out of school, I'm going to have all his stuff packed up, and you can come get him. I didn't know none of this went on, Justin. I get home from school. I'm shocked, one, that my mother was home. I go to my, she said, you ain't even got to go no further. Come sit on the couch. We need to talk. And I'm thinking one of my teachers been called or some shit like that. She said, who is, I was about to say his name, so I'm not going to say his name. She was like, who is such and such? I'm going to say Bob. She said, who is Bob? And I was like, she said, you might as well just tell me because I already know because he'll be here in about an hour to get you and all your stuff because he said he could take care of you better than I can. So who is Bob? And I told her and I said, well, she was like, so he been cutting your hair for free, but I've been giving you money to get a haircut. So what you been doing with the money that I've been giving you to get a haircut? And I'm like, we ain't even got to discuss that. So I'm like, this woman that really packed up all my stuff. And I'm like 15 going on 16. Hey, Red Snapper. So she didn't like pack Justin. I mean, literally, she packed up my whole room, everything. So he gets to the house, and my mother said, go let him in. And I let him in, and he was like, you ready to go? And I'm like, where am I going? And so he comes in. My mother says, you? And that ain't what she said, but she said, you? She said, so this is what you want? You want this grown-ass man. So you realize that when you leave here with this grown-ass man, you can't never come back. And whatever happens to you with this grown-ass man is on you. And I'm looking at my mother like, bitch, is you crazy? And she said, so you think so you can take care of my son better than me? And he was like, well, man. She was like, I'm Sandra. Don't call me ma'am. We not friends. Call me Sandra. Actually, call me Miss Edwards. And so she said, so you think that you can take care of my 16-year-old son better than I can? Well, son, you got a choice to make. And you need to make that choice now. So I'm like, well, you kind of made the choice for me when you packed all my stuff. So I said, I want to stay home. So she said, oh, you want to stay home. So my mother says to him, so Bob, remember when on the phone you said if he had to choose between his mama and you, he was going to choose you? He just chose his mama. So with him choosing his mama, you got about 5 minutes to get the fuck out my house before I blow your fucking head off. And I looked at him, and I was like, she ain't playing. She got a shotgun. You need to go. So he got up, and he was like, when you ready to come home, daddy will be waiting for you. And my mother said, bitch, if you don't get the fuck out my house. And he left. So I'm sitting there. Now that I'm sitting there like, now what are going to be the repercussions of this? So my mother said, you grown. You want to be dating grown men. Do I need to take you to the doctor? Are you fucking? Have you been fucking? Do you plan on fucking? What you been doing? Because I don't know who you are. So I say, I just got to ask you one question. What? What the fuck do you want, motherfucker? And that's what she said. I said, if I had said I was going with him, what would you have done? And she said, well, after I killed him and beat the shit out of you, I'd call the police and wait for them to get here. And I hugged my mother and I cried. And I thanked her. And I'm thankful for that type of a mother that she put my feet to the fire. Because as I later found out from about Bob, I wasn't the first kid on the block for Bob. And I wasn't the last kid on the block for Bob. And Bob was not going to be satisfied until he conquered me. But when that happened, I was an adult. And I say that to say that my story, when I listen to some of the people talk about their stories and these parents with giving up, giving, because a lot of them parents, as far as I'm concerned, gave their kids to R. They handed their kids to R. Kelly.
I totally agree. And in a sense, I say
I made a post on my page and I was directing that to people, to my girlfriends and stuff in this generation. Because mm-hmm. I have girlfriends. Or I had girlfriends because we're not friends anymore because they would tell me, Jason, you don't have kids. You're a gay man. You can't tell me how to raise my child. And all I'm simply saying, and all I simply was saying is that your child, when my mother went out, I was asleep. When my mother mm-hmm. came back, I was waking up. My mother didn't have us around Tom, Dick, Harry, Phil, and Mike. I didn't have a bunch of godfathers and uncles running in and out of my house. If it was a man in our house and we had on our pajamas, my mother would hurry up and say, go put your goddamn clothes on.
But every girl's situation at home is not the same, though.
And I understand that, but I say that the blame starts, and I'm not defending because I'm not, mm-hmm. but the blame starts at home. There's blame on R. Kelly. There's a mm-hmm. lot of blame on R. Kelly. But there's a lot of blame.
At the end of the day, with all that power, he still had responsibility to not do
exactly.
shit like that.
Exactly. And just like with these kids, I mean, once I got older, I mean, it was a lot. At 15 and 16, I was on the bus to Philadelphia, and my mama didn't know about it till later on down the road. And that's probably one of the reasons why I'm so hard on the kids in my house. And because let's be honest, and I'm gonna be frankly honest, you're not an adult to me until you're 25. So from 16 to 25, you're still a teenager. You're still trying to figure shit out. Because I know I was. So you're still you're mature enough to make some decisions, but you're not mature enough to handle what a 40-year-old, a 30-year-old is bringing your way. Your mind is not mentally stable enough to handle what a 30-year-old man is bringing your way. And I say that because there are predators in Baltimore. There were predators when I was 15 and 16. And these same predators that were there when I was 15 and 16 were there when my nephews came. And unless God can take them home, they're going to probably still be there when my great nephew turns 15 and 16. And that's the problem that's the biggest problem that I have with in ballroom and out of ballroom is that we know who these people are. We watch them finesse these kids. And we just sit back. And we just sit back. And then we be like, oh, well,
sometimes in a lot of these situations, these kids will step back to you like, you know what I'm saying, they know what they're doing. So it's hard to try to tell people, it's hard to try to pull in and zone in up on somebody when they feel like they know what the fuck they doing. You know what I'm saying? Everybody feel like they got their own or they know how to make their way. And then when they get out there and they get fucked up in a situation, then they turn into Miss Otis regrets. So.
Because all my examples are going to be my examples. Like, my son that passed away. My son was in my house when I took in my foster son at 17 and all that other kind of stuff. I gave him the ground rule. You can't date nobody older than you. Ain't nobody older than you coming in my house. If I need to know wherever you're going or whoever you're going with, I need to meet them. And then as I meet them, I need to meet their parents. Because that's how my mother raised me, and I think that's how every parent or guardian of a child needs to be. I need to know everybody that's going to be in your circle. I need to know where they live, how they live, who they living with. I need to know those things for you, because you're not going over somebody's house. You're not staying at somebody's house with their nasty, dirty-ass uncle in the back room and their filthy, McNasty auntie upstairs that's going to say, come up here and make me feel good. You're not going to be around those people. Not if I can have anything to do with it. And so when his friends started telling him, and see, that's the biggest misconception these 18-year-olds get. Oh, I'm 18. I'm old enough to vote. I'm grown. No, bitch, you not grown. You just old enough to make somewhat of a rational decision, but you not grown. You still got a lot to learn and a lot to go through before you can say you grown. And that's what bothers. I mean, it's a lot. It's just really a lot. And it's just disgusting. And I mean, the only thing that I'm grateful for in this whole R. Kelly situation is that it finally opened up a door to a conversation in the Black community that needed to be held for a very freaking long time. Now you can't sleep the dust under your rug. You can't take the cobwebs down. You have to have these calls.
And you got to have dialogue, and you have got to talk about it.
You have to. Because it's just one of my straight male friends, he made a post, and I can't really, he might be watching this live, or he might watch this live later. I really don't know. I really don't care. I sometimes have a problem with my pro-Black friends who date white women in a sense that you are so hard on the Black community and the Black woman that you forget you Black. And he made a post this morning, I'm going to see if I can find it. He made a post this morning in regards to Black women. And wait a minute, let me go to it so I can word for word. But wait, what? But basically, the post is, wait a minute, because I want to make sure I'm saying it right. So let me go to his page. At 17, some feel like, wait, let me read this. Justin, read some of the comments for me while I look for that, please.
Okay.
So we can respond.
Let's see. There we go. Okay. True. Dana Elden. True. At 17, some 18, some feel like they're grown because they feel that way. They are rebellious, and because those grown-ass men open their doors to them, most kids get stuck into that life. That's exactly right. R. Kelly was molested by his sister. That's what his brother said with Tasha K. Like, I don't really, okay, look, I get it. I get it. R. Kelly needs help. R. Kelly needed help in the past. R. Kelly needed help after the first situation where the tour manager knew the shit was going on. He needed help then. What the problem is with that is that his community, the people around him, failed him. Because if you know this is your breadwinner, you know what I'm saying? Because if you know this is the person that's making all of the money for everybody that's involved in this situation, you only have the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. They chose to go ahead and do the wrong thing and start supplying him with a steady flow of women so he could do whatever he wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? So he could be happy.
Right.
And it's just sad because it was almost like feeding an addict. Of course an addict is going to continue to do what it's doing, especially when it's being offered the shit, you know? And it's so fucked up. But what's worse is majority of those people that were around him were black people. So they were cognizant of the two.
Okay. I just found that post. Okay. Private caller, you're on the air. Oh, excuse me.
Is the caller there?
Well, it's moving kind of slow, but I took them off mute, so I'm just waiting for
Okay. We are raised in a culture where Uncle Nasty, who molested all the kids in the family, is still invited to Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm not surprised that black men defended him. And I agree. I agree. I saw this post earlier where they had this Muslim dude that was crying, and he was talking about how we need to start, we as a people need to start looking at how we're using, hello?
Yeah, private call you on the air.
It finally took me off mute. You can go ahead and then I'll comment. You can finish what you were saying. And
he was just basically making it seem like the black community, they used that documentary to destroy a black man. And, you know, he also made mention of a black, you know, why didn't they, you know, they had to go to a white man's network to be able to do it. It was just like the most idiotic bullshit that I've ever heard in my life. You're finding any way to defend him. And it is the and you basically at the end of the day you're basically well he said he was not trying to defend him but in the same sense to me you are still defending him either way it goes and Carla you can go I'm sorry.
First thing I just woke up so I'm like I'm glad I didn't miss the show or whatever but I'm like damn I almost missed it but anyway Happy New Year to you all I have missed you
Happy
both.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm glad you all are back. You know, I'm glad y'all talking about this topic. You know, I think that R. Kelly is, I don't want to say he's a monster. I don't want to say he's a monster because he didn't create this by himself. I feel like he was failed in so many ways. He became like his sister. This started with his sister. And I'm not even going to say it started with his sister because, you know, someone did this to him. And then I think the people, the enablers around him, the people around him, and then just having so much money just made this become so gross and out of control. But, you know, I know there are people that are like, oh, he needs to go to jail. But I look at it on top of jail or beside jail. Is that going to change what's in his heart and in his mind?
Mm-hmm.
He needs some help. He needs psychological help.
Exactly.
Because he's been molested by men and women. Did you watch all six parts of that?
I didn't get that part.
Oh, one of the girls, I think it was the young girl, the 16-year-old, the one that drug her friend, that drug Dominique into the foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
She opened up about being molested. He opened up about being molested by two people. But see, he didn't name his sister.
Mm-hmm.
the brother went on Unwind with Tasha K, and he kind of put it together for him. He feels like R. Kelly was molested by his sister, too, because he was. And the way she used to handle them, she would keep one of them in the house. One day he could go out with his oldest brother. One day R. Kelly could go in the kind of the way. All he knows that whenever she kept him in the house, she molested him from making him eat her pussy to fucking her. The oldest sister did. So he was like, I don't know for sure that this happened. If he says that he was molested, you know, I know it happened because it had to happen because it happened to me, and he was like the way she was handling him, he just feel like she had to be doing the same thing to Robert. She had to because they got the same type of treatment from her. She would make up something that they did to keep them in the house. One or the other to keep them in the house. She never did anything with them together. It was always, oh, you messed. Okay, you can't go out today. Oh, you can go out. You can go out with Bruce. And see, Bruce was too close in age with her that he could tell, that he would tell. But she had maybe she had 9 years on the baby brother, about 5 or 6 on R. Kelly. To where she, you know, they'd be kind of afraid to overrun their mouth or say something, or they just wouldn't run their mouth. I just feel like, and then that whole little thing, if you look at that interview, is generational. It's a generational curse. I don't know what other word to use, but she molested her brothers. Her children were molested. Her oldest son molested her daughter. R. Kelly molested girls. His daughter is transitioning into a man.
So that means Drea just got there and she just went into a whole another world.
She went into a whole another world. Y'all didn't hear about his child transitioning to a girl.
I heard about it, but you hear stuff or you might see posts, but you know.
He
doesn't deal with his son because his son used to be his daughter. He won't acknowledge the transition, he won't acknowledge him at all. I did see something about that.
I don't want to offend nobody, you know, when it comes to transition and stuff, but you have to, when you hear the backstory of all of that, the uncle said he felt like the niece who was being molested, the sister's daughter who was being molested by her brother, he felt like she looked at him and loved on him in a way that a niece shouldn't love an uncle like this. She would get mad when he'd be on the phone with other girls, when he'd go out with other. She walking around the house naked in front of him. Like he felt like he said he felt the same energy from her mama when her mama used to molest him. He got the same energy from her to the point he didn't want to be around her. He moved out his own house that he allowed her to stay in when her mama kicked her out because he didn't want to be around her because it gave him the same vibe that her mama did. Just a child run you out your own shit. Just a child. More than prison or anything, that man need help. These girls need help.
I mean,
that shit was real.
That's my only question to all these people that want charges, want him to serve time, or want him. What is putting him? His career, well. What is putting him in jail going to? Okay, he's going. What is putting him behind bars?
What could you do that would be
the same person or worse? What is prison going to do if he's going to come out the same person or worse, and you haven't worked on his mind? You haven't worked on what the fuck it is that's wrong with him. If you don't deal with that, prison is nothing. He's still going to be that same person and worse. Because now you don't put him in this prison. You don't put him in this prison by himself to have to deal with whatever he has to survive while he's in there. This man might come out a killer. He has to do his own.
R. Kelly, how old is R. Kelly now? Like, he should be like 50 something by now.
He's going on 50 this year. This year he'll be 50.
I think he turned. Why? Then his birthday was today.
Yeah.
Oh, girl.
I mean, the people, that part five when that lady got her daughter back. When that lady opened that door, when her
just the emotion from
door,
the whole scene
oh
took me out.
War,
because here's the thing.
I
really, here's the thing in my mind.
I really don't want to watch it. I said, y'all are going to make me. I really don't want to watch this, but.
Jason, my friend said the same thing you said. You cannot, you can't even have an opinion for real until you see how this raw footage. You will think, like, I thought, and I don't know if Justin was about to say, okay, this shit was real. Okay, this shit's going on. He learned these little girls, whatever like that. But how dark it was, I didn't feel until that mother went through that whole thing. She looked for her child at the hotel. They told her to go across the street. The hotel manager took her up. He knocked on the door, and she stood to the side. When the door opened and cracked, she came out, and her child opened the door, shocked as shit. Cameras in her face. She go in the room, try to close the door. You couldn't write a script.
Yes, the girl did go back 3 days later.
She did go back 3 days later, but she left.
But then she left again.
She got her back. Well, I don't know how long it took her to get her back, but she got her back, and that's what's good. But that tells you, in the mind, he fucked these girls up.
Yeah.
He destroyed the bitch he pissed on in the motherfucking video.
Mm-hmm.
She's still with him. She's still fucking him. She's the bitch that's teaching other bitches how to fuck him.
This is some extra ass shit. Today they released a thing where they actually are seeking criminal charges against them. They're going to see. This is some extra ass shit. But here's the thing: the message I think the black community needs to learn is that it doesn't matter when you have that type of power, when you have that type of money, when you have that type of influence, you still have a responsibility to a degree. You know what I'm saying? That's spanning almost 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I can only think what type of case can, because I'm gonna be honest with you. Even out of all of what I saw, some of these bitches was lying. It don't even make no. Some of that shit.
One of them girls, it was just like, girl, you was 30 something years old. You knew you was walking into.
The other bitch had been married, like, and then if you notice, what killed me about her was, you know, I looked at all the girls that he had been with. She was the only one who was butt fucking ugly, and I was like, I don't believe you.
Don't do that, girl.
Is that the one that looked like? Is that the one that looked like the rapper from?
No, she was a news anchor.
She was a radio DJ.
Yes.
Not her. I'm talking about Asante, the one that went back in the house.
Oh, but the background singer.
She didn't look like none of the other bitches If you think
I didn't know she was a part of the Sex Coast. I just thought she was the background singer. Cause she was just getting...
Asante.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you talking about Javante, the one that
Yes.
You talking about Javante, the one that had the Dookie braids on.
Right, and then took up the wig.
Right. But and that's another thing, like, you brought your friend to him for him to do that to your friend.
That was the worst.
Okay. I found what I was looking for, so I'm going to read it to y'all, and then we're going to move from that. Well, we're not going to move from that, but we're going to, and he says, I wish someone would explain this social contract about black men's obligation to protect the black woman. Who and what are we supposed to protect y'all from? Who created this covenant that where I can find the terms of this agreement? So often in conversations about black men and black women, I hear this claim that we don't protect y'all, but I'm still trying to understand from what and from who are we supposed to be protecting you, and how have we failed you by not protecting you? I didn't want to respond to that, and I'll go first on this. I didn't want to respond on his post because I actually care for him on a level, but it kind of bothered me because he also had another post where it's, what's the definition of a man? And the two kind of go hand in hand. And as far as the protection of a black woman, I don't think that it's an obligation. I think that it's just a duty. That you are a black man, that is a black woman, and don't by any means think I am not a male chauvinist, because there are women that can do things much better than I probably ever could. So I'm not going to take that away from them. But because of the way that my mother raised me, I'm going to stand up when women get up. I'm going to pull a woman's chair out. I'm going to open the door. She can be as feminine as she wants to be and be like, I can do this shit myself. Okay, well, you can. Well, right now, I'm going to do that because that was installed in me. It is not our job to play Superman to every situation that a black woman gets herself in. It's not. But I have sisters, I have nieces, I have aunts, I had a grandmother, I had a mother. If I'm walking down the street and I see men disrespecting a female and she's minding her business, it's my job as a man, as a black man, to step in. Because this is, yes, we're kings, they're queens. So if I wouldn't want a bunch of nasty, disrespectful men, and my niece walking down the street, I wouldn't want a bunch of nasty, disrespectful men looking back at her ass saying, hey, baby, coming, and nobody addressed that. That's a child. Now, a fully grown woman has a mouth, and she got these hands. If she's being overpowered, if she's being overthrown, because we have all seen videos on Facebook where black women are in restaurants and you see black men with, instead of the black man stepping up, because they irritate the fuck out of them. I've seen so many videos over the last year in 2018 that just irritated my soul, where black women had nobody but themselves protecting them, and you got a bunch of black ignorant ass Negroes, because I don't want to say niggas, you got a bunch of ignorant ass niggas with cameras out saying world star, but not doing anything to diffuse the situation. So it is our job. It's not our job, but it's our duty. It's a responsibility. It's just like it's a responsibility. I think it's a responsibility of black women.
His whole argument to me is so, it's asinine, because at the end of the day, even if you take out color or in race in play, if it's any woman in peril in a situation, me as a man, I'm going to try to make sure if it's something I can do to help. That's just me as a man. And I don't, and that, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting myself in the roof of a Mack truck. But at the end of the day, if I walk into a situation and I feel like somebody's aggressing a woman, period, or is it something crazy? I feel like you're always supposed to protect the fear of sex. That's me,
right?
And that's just me as a man, and that's neither race nor color. It doesn't matter. But when you start speaking specifics as far as race. Like, why wouldn't you help your brother or sister out? Why? Why would you? Not that somebody needs somebody at the bat for you all the time, but at the end of the day, you're still supposed to support your own to a certain degree. But to me, coming from a person, I don't know. I wouldn't be derogatory toward interracial marriage. But when I look at people who marry interracially, then I normally get that type of thought process from them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They feel as though they shouldn't have to. They feel like they're almost above being able to step in like that.
Yeah.
To me. And that's how it comes off.
I totally agree because it's just, the post, I like him, but a lot of his posts, and maybe sometimes I think he does post to strike up conversation to get people to think or whatever his reasons might be.
That post made him look silly.
And somebody said that on his post.
That sounds silly as hell.
It just bothered me I think I did say something to him because then he said something to me about, well, how do you, because he did, he said, well, how do you defend black women when black women won't defend your lifestyle? And I gave her a...
You said all that because you're upset because black women attack you because you dated outside, you're married outside your race. That's where that comes from. That was like so passive aggressive, but it was so damn blatant.
And my response to that was that I don't need a black woman to defend me or my sexual preference or my sexuality. I don't need a black woman to defend me. I do that very well on my own.
You all had that interaction as far as the conversation?
Yeah. And I'm like,
wow.
Well, that's all we said in the box. We haven't sat down to have a real conversation because after I said that, the conversation didn't go. No, he never said nothing else in my inbox. But that was that was my response to that, was that I don't need a woman to defend me because the black community in a whole is not going to defend me. I can stand outside and march from here to Washington, D.C., with a sign to say all predators should go to jail, and the black community will stand behind the predator and say, no, all gays should go to jail, or something like that. So for me or us, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, but like I had to explain to him.
At the end of the day, we still support our community, and that's the shame. Regardless of how they treat us, we still show love and support the community. Don't get me wrong. I think that we do have problem areas that we need to work on ourselves as a black gay community. But at the end of the day, we still love our race. So
right.
I don't know.
The biggest hang up for me, the biggest issue that I have with black people, and I love my people. It's the biggest thing that I have with black people is just like that. What is his? I can't even think of that fake bogus man that was getting ready to build a school. Whatever. Him. The biggest problem that I have with people like it's because of people like him that will get on Facebook and do these speaking engagements, and they will speak on our lifestyle to try to make a point and connect us and try to connect us to stuff that have nothing to do with us. Because don't get me wrong, yes, there are sexual predators in our community. But every person that either touched me from the age of 5 to 13 was straight. Every person, the 2 females and the 3 males that touched me, all were straight. They weren't gay. They were straight. But because of what we choose as our lifestyle or what choice we made in life, we are deemed sexual predators, molesters, all we are, which kind of sort of pisses me off sometimes because when I see some of my friends, they live up to the ticket. They actually live up to the stereotype that society says that we are all sexual deviants, that all we think about is sex. And that's not true. But because of people like Omar and other people, that's how we get demonized because of situations like this. Now, I can't think of one gay person that had a harem. I can't think of one lesbian that had a harem of little girls or one gay man that had a harem of little boys that he kept from their parents. I can't think of one. But I can name several heterosexual men that have done it from the 60s up until now. And it's not, and I'm not going to make this a race thing, because it's not a race, because it's just as prevalent in the white community as it is in our community. But this is not black and white to me right now. This is black. It's black to me because it's in my community. It's in my yard. It's happening to my people. So that's the only race that I see. I don't care about the colonizers and all of that. I do, but then I don't, because it's not affecting them. Because they'll seek out counsel. And they'll be told that it's okay. But in our community, no. The uncle touched you, and he still get invited to Thanksgiving. The aunt touched you, yep, and she's still coming to your birthday party. And then they tell you, which is another reason, that's a whole other show that we'll get into next week or the week after that. They'll tell you the Jesus in you needs to forgive them. But how can I think I'm supposed to forgive them and let it go, and I'm not supposed to talk about it? But then down the road, this shit is driving me crazy because I'm supposed to forgive them and move on, but I can't because I'm stuck having nightmares and can't be in a real relationship with someone because I don't want them to touch me. Y'all got quiet.
What is or this new love for dick that you like and you don't know why.
Oh,
what you say?
Because it's been some people that have been fucked into the point where they start liking dick. You know, been molested to the point where they start liking me and they started liking it as a way to, you know.
And that's another show. We've actually touched on Carla when we were tens of chops. We kind of sort of talked on that Vengeance. I don't know if he's watching this, if he's listening or whatever. Vengeance talked about how when he went from being the molestee to being the molester. And I can honestly say that in my situation with the last person that touched me, lived in my house. And it got to the point that it was happening so much that I literally just kind of sort of was like turned it into he was my boyfriend. And it got to the point that at some nights I initiated it, which I can admit now that I think that towards the end it went from him molesting me to me molesting him, in a sense. And,
oh, wow.
And, in the same sense, like you said, how the girl, I think you said, like, R. Kelly's cousin and her niece got mad. When girls would come to, like, when girls would come to the house to see him, I would get pissed off. I would terrorize them till they left. And he was like, I ain't never coming back there. Your brother crazy. and stuff like that. So it mentally plays on your mind.
Oh, wow.
Because it mentally plays on your mind to the point that I'm like, because I knew, because like I've said on like old shows, and I think I've said it on this show, I knew that I was gay at 5. My mama knew that I was gay at 5. My mama took me to Dr. Earth's wife and said, something wrong with my son. And he told her, no, it's nothing wrong with your son. He just likes soft things. And my mother said, I know my child. I gave birth to him. He not right. And my mother knew. So I kind of sort of blamed myself for like a lot of situations. Like I can remember one of the times I was at my godmother's house and my play auntie's house, and I was in the basement playing with the, I was on one, because my play cousins, one of them lived, they had, the basement was set up like their bedroom, and they had a set of bunk beds and a full-size bed. And I was on a full-size bed playing with the basketball. And I can remember one of my play cousins, one of their cousins, which was, of course, one of my play cousins, coming down to the basement, and was like, and I think I was like 9, and he was like, well, Jason, he was like, Jason, want me to teach you how to do it? And I ain't know no different. He was like, you want me to teach you how to do it to a girl? And I was like, okay. I didn't know. And I laid down on the bed, and he got on top of me, and he started humping until he did his business. And he was like, that's how you do a girl. And he was like, don't tell nobody. Or this is going to be our thing. Now, granted, I never was alone with him ever after that. And I think this is the first time I've ever told that story. Well, God, yeah, this is the first time I've ever told that story out loud. So I guess I can't put this live on my page because, well, no, they need to know. So, yeah, so that was, yeah. So a lot of times in my life, when I think back on situations, I blame myself. Because, like, well, maybe if I hadn't been, well, I'm still feminine. Well, like, maybe if I hadn't been as feminine then, it wouldn't have happened. Or maybe if I hadn't had that particular shirt on that day, it wouldn't have happened. And then with therapy, lots of therapy, I realized, and I can hear my voice saying, even if I had on a blue shirt, it was going to happen.
This is getting kind of deep.
Baby, yeah, you telling, you done told so many stories. Well, wow.
I am an open book, and that's the biggest problem with some of us that have these platforms. We don't share, because I don't know who's going to go back and watch this tomorrow, next week, next year, and who this helps. So I have no problem. I'm comfortable with sharing my experience. I am. So, because I wouldn't be who I am if I wasn't, because not talking about them makes people like R. Kelly.
That's true.
I'm trying to, well, there are no other go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, you're trying to move on from R. Kelly, so
While it's still in that same.
Did y'all want to talk about the young man the second young man they found dead in that dude's house?
That's where I was transitioning to.
Like, what is really going on? Like, what is they doing? What is they doing in that man's house that is leaving them to be killed? Or is he just a serial killer?
Did they find out if it was a young or old man? Because I thought they were saying something like it was like a 50-year-old man in there.
Still.
I know.
What is going on in that man's house? What?
know.
What is going on? Is he? Here's the thing. How can you still be not in jail at all, for the first person they found dead in your home?
Because every time they motherfucking die, he flushed them drugs down the toilet and he called the cops and said he don't know what happened.
What?
That's what he do. And he got to be getting rid of the evidence real good before he called the cops. He have to. He have
what
to.
What kind of high is they having?
Well, first thing, I think after the second death, everybody needs to know this. Whoever his connect is, they got bad dope. But you don't need to go over there for that.
Didn't they say last night on the radio, like, what's her name? Amaya was saying last night on the radio that the girls in Ohio have been getting sick because the girls have been pumping the girls full of straight fentanyl. So wouldn't it stand a measure that you don't need to be out there doing any drugs at this point in time? If you do, unless you got your own personal connect, you don't need to be doing anything. Period.
That's easy. But if you ain't no dope fiend, I mean,
that's true. I guess that would be the only thing. The only thing I get like that over is a little green. But at the end of the day,
little weed.
Yeah, that's all I want. That's the only habit I want to have.
Even that, had the way you see some of these people bent over on the falling.
Well, no, like, here's the thing. First of all, I'll never take anything that's pre-rolled. Like, it just will never happen. And being that I've done it as long as I've done it, if I see it and it don't look right, if it don't puff right, because, you know, they got some of that shit that's synthetic shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and that synthetic shit is bad. Like, synthetic weed. So
I heard that's the weed that be having them like seasoning,
tweaking.
Really tweaking now. But I even tell my guy sometimes I'm like, because my father smoked weed,
mm-hmm.
I know how weed smell. Like I know how weed smell,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes this weed smell like they done some of the weed that people smoke. They smell like they sprayed a chemical on it or something. I don't know if they made
it. Well, unless they're getting it from a dispensary. If they're not getting it from a dispensary, like if you stay in a state where you can go to the dispensary, take your ass to the dispensary. Stop playing.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
That's where
gonna be for real. Them lemon flavor and
right, like
when they say that shit. They gonna be for real with it. It's gonna
like
be
go ahead and get your medical card. Go on down there and do what you need to do. Cause it's time out for the bullshit. And don't nobody want to die from getting high. That's just not the purpose.
Yeah.
Don't nobody no.
Cause in Baltimore alone. I mean, the one thing that I did, I mean, because I had to start the show, so I didn't get to see, but I wanted to watch him in the head or not. So I only saw a few minutes of what that man said in the beginning. And I had a problem. Well, I've had a problem for quite some time because with this new epidemic. Because when crack was running rapid, and I'm still gagging that in 2018, there's still people that smoke crack, but there are people that smoke crack. That when crack was at its biggest and black people were dying in mass numbers or whatever from crack and heroin, it wasn't a epidemic and it wasn't a problem. But now that all that Bill and Jill and Tammy and Shirley and Pinky Sue are now getting hooked on it or off hooked on it, it's an epidemic, and it's a problem. And Baltimore alone, I can kid y'all not, before it got, because it's not cold here, but when it was, before it got cold, right before the election, there were massive numbers, and if there's anybody on this live from Baltimore, you can attest to it. There were massive numbers of white people all up and down Martin Luther King Boulevard, in all these places, that you wouldn't normally see white people. I kid you not. And this was right around election time. And then I was like, I was watching something on CNN one night where they were saying where sometimes they will put these addicts on a bus on a one-way ticket to another town or city to get them out of there so that their numbers don't increase.
Oh, wow.
So for the longest time, like, because I told y'all, like, in the summertime, well, I only told y'all about the first one. Over the summer, I found 3 dead bodies behind my job where they had OD'd.
Wow.
Yes, where they had, and they were all white people, where they had OD'd off of heroin and fentanyl. And I know for a fact that they're mixing, because it's not just where Amaya was, they're mixing the fentanyl and cocaine here. They putting fentanyl, and they mixing the fentanyl and anything and everything they can here. So if you don't have a steady supplier or a person that you go to, don't be going to nobody new because you don't know what you're going. That's why at this point, the bottle of liquor that I open, when I open it, the seal has not been broken until I break it. So the only thing I do now is I drink and I'll smoke my hookah. But I'm not smoking nobody's weed. I ain't never done a bump. Ain't never been curious to do no bump. And the only kind of needles that touch my skin are tattoo needles.
Bitch, when I move to a city that's got a dispensary, bitch, I'm going to be hot every day.
But I think that there is a good night, Red. Sleep tight. Oh, good night, Red. Talk to you soon. Actually, Red, I'm gonna inbox you because it's a new pro. Just a second, y'all, because Reagan, we go. Actually, there's a new play called The Choir Boys, and Red, my friend, well, the person that wrote it is from Baltimore, and 2 of the people that are starring in it are from Baltimore. So I'm going to try, and it's going to be there for some time because it just opened up on Broadway. So when I come up there to see it, I'm going to let you know, and hopefully you'll be available that you can see it with. But good night. Happy New Year. And, yeah, but as far as that man is concerned, I am glad that they went to his house and they stood in front of his house and they protest. And they need to go there every night. And I don't care if the man was 18 or 53. When the first man died, when the first boy, young man died, and the mother said in his diary how he was tired and how he tried to get away, and he told stories about how this man will shoot it up in between their toes, stuff like this. And
what?
And watch. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you go back, because I think she came, I don't know if it was Pins and Chops or Kelly Show, but she came on one of our radio shows because she was trying to get help.
What kind of high is that? What is they taking?
Tina.
Oh.
That's crystal meth, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it wasn't for that Dr. Phil episode with that boy from That's So Raven on there, I would not have believed that Tina fucks with your mind the way it does.
Baby,
if
it breaks
some
girls down.
If it had not been for that episode, and I'm glad that I watched that episode, because if it had not been for that episode of Dr. Phil, I would not believe that Tina fucks with people's minds that bad that it does that. Because now I can understand why they cry for help and why some of them end up taking their life, because that drug is dangerous. And for that drug to be, and I'm not about to get on no soapbox because if I'll be there all night, but for that drug to be in our community and for that drug to be in our community and know that there are people in our community pushing that drug on not just young kids, but pushing that drug, period, it's hard. For us to know the people that are selling it and not holding them accountable for what they're doing to the community is wrong. And I don't have to say no names because we already know who I'm talking about.
Well, that's no, I don't know who you're talking about. I mean, I know that they said that Bernie was selling it, but I don't know who else was doing but I know that they need to start talking about stuff like that. You know, people. I don't know. They say some of the deaths recently have been drug related and things like that. And I think that, you know, with all of this, you know, the people that's being molested, the people that's selling drugs, pushing drugs to children, I think all of that stuff, all of those people need to be, you know, put out on front, and that needs to be discussed.
Right.
Because it's no place, you know. And if you're going to talk about, well, I mean, I'm talking about, talk about them all, your friends too, you know, all of them. And I think some people, you know, if you did do something, if you did have sex with the minor or whatever like that, you know, I mean, go to them in their inbox and say, I'm sorry if I did anything to you, if I made you feel a certain way, if, you know, whatever. But denying
right.
it, you know you did it. Denying it and you know you did it. You know, because it ain't gonna change shit that you they put your name out, so everybody looking at
right.
you crazy. And some of them can give strict account that you are who and what they say you are. So, you know, but
I said it a long time ago, Paula, that if I'm at a function. You can call me a snitch. You can call me whatever you want. If I'm at a function and I see something that's not right, the promoter might as well put me out, and we might as well all get the boxing, because I'm doing the right thing. So I don't know. What is that that you – I can't open that right now, Big Johnson. I'm on the air. I don't know what that is. But what time is it? It's 11:36. I said I was only going to do this for an hour. I don't know what else. There's nothing else that I really want to talk about. This was our first night back, and I think we talked about enough, and I'm quite sure people need to decompress from a lot of stuff that I see. But y'all will be okay, because I'm okay. So if I can deal with it, and I went through it, y'all just have to listen to it. Justin is on another call. Don't forget that we will be back next Monday, same time,
same place,
with get ready to use with the J's, with Petty Mondays, with Kelly, Marcus, Amaya, and myself, and then we will be back. We are back. There will be no more breaks until I can't give you a date, but there will be no more breaks. There'll be no more
breaks. Yeah,
I promise you, I'm saying this on live so you can see my face, and anything that I say, I stick to. I promise you, unless there is an emergency, there will be no more breaks from Juicing with the J's until we take our summer break. So,
all right.
What about those petty suspensions?
Oh.
I
suspended myself.
You said you were asleep when I gave my New Year's resolution. Well, actually, my New Year does not start until my birth. I'm one of those people.
Well, how did your New Year start? Your New Year started like everyone else, bitch. What the fuck are you talking about?
My New Year does not start until my birthday. That's when I was born, so that's when my New Year starts. So,
girl, that's not how that works.
Well, that's how that works. That's how that works over here. And
that can't be how that works. That doesn't work with mathematics.
Well, it works. It's been working well for me.
How many days until your birthday, Jason?
It's going to continue to work. So my New Year's Eve is April
23rd. How many days to your birthday, Jason?
My New Year's Eve is April
23rd. How many days are there of the year?
My New Year's Eve is April 23rd. My New Year's Day is April 24th.
Bitch, you just can't make up shit, girl.
You just can't
do that.
I have said that on a many a show. That the new year might
start. And if
start
they listen
the
to it, they some foolish ones.
Why are you going to keep talking over me? I have said on a many a show that the year starts on January 1st. But my new year does not start until my birthday. So I acknowledge January 1st as the start of the
Girl,
year.
Girl, how you just going to acknowledge a whole 2 or 3 months? Shut up. That doesn't make sense to you.
My year does not start until my birthday. So with that being said, Carla, what I said was that in 2019, I'm no longer reading. In 2019, I'm no longer going to read anybody. If you have something to say, you have to call in and press 1 and say it yourself. I'm no longer going to be the messenger for other people. You have to, what I say is what I say.
And if you
do
call in, we do get to ask follow-up questions.
And so what I say is what I say, and whatever I say, I'm going to stand by. So if I say something that offends you, I'm no longer going to suspend myself. I'm going to stand by what I said, and I'm not apologizing for it. I am bringing back the unapologetic era. I am not apologizing for the things that come out of my mouth. If they offend, I am sorry if the things I say offend you.
Even if they attack you like hell did me about some perfect 10.
Oh.
What you say?
I said, even if they attack you the way Harold attacked me about them perfect 10.
I mean, he did drag you about their perfect 10. He drug the shit out of you.
Well,
I will admit that was a key.
Well, Carla, you, with that perfect 10, I mean, I thought you were going to stand your ground and be a little more but you took it on the chin, so.
No, I was trying not to get it back into the fat stuff and the overweight stuff. And
is still going to jail about them coffins?
Because
them people ever get buried from their from them coffins?
Who knows? Oh, you talking about?
Well,
you talking about that guy?
Well,
yeah.
Technically, since he's banned from doing funerals in Virginia. He's basically banned from doing funerals in the DMV.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was so, oh, my God, it's just been so much. And I apologize because I know that it has been so much that has happened that we should have been on here to talk about. Because it's been a lot. Y'all sent 2018 out with a bang. Y'all really did that.
It was back to back.
It was so much that's happened. I can't even think of one particular thing at the top, but it was just scandal.
But the one horrifying fact about going from 2018 to 2019, people kept on dying.
That's
the craziest thing. I have never lived through a generation that has passed so fast, and it's you know what I'm saying, because you know you hear about people passing, but it's a rate people are just girl. Let's see, your days are numbered, honey.
I should be writing this stuff down because this is things that we're gonna talk about in a year. I want to pat myself on the back for getting certified I'm commissioned as a notary. I'm actually getting ready to take the class to be able to do insurance and sell life insurance and stuff like that, because that is one of the things that we're going to talk about, that we sit up here and we talk about status and we talk about I'm this and don't nobody have burial insurance. No one has No one has renters insurance. Well, you got to have a place to live that renters insurance. But nobody has.
Oh, my God.
You die easily, you'll be able to strangers.
Say this mouth. And we, those are things that we need to talk about because I am sick. And I'm not reading anybody in particular. But my closest friend, and Justin, no, Justin, and I've had this conversation with Justin, and Justin's had this conversation with me. If I die today or tomorrow, and anybody comes on Facebook with any kind of GoFundMe for anything, it's to be shut down.
Well, here's the thing. I don't even want to. Fuck the GoFundMe. Fuck the GoFundMe. If you my sister, you my brother, girl, or if you something like that to me, girl, you call. You know my people that I talk to on Facebook. You know some of my friends. Even if you're not cool with them, girl, you inbox everybody on that list and say, hey, can you help me come up with $1,000 to get Justin cremated? Bitch, don't you do no GoFundMe for me.
Because it has to be, now granted, I understand that, I've always felt like some of them GoFundMe or Ponzi schemes so that other people get rich quick. But if you are in a situation, insurance ain't, I can't even say that because insurance ain't, for some people, insurance ain't but $5 a month. They ain't even got, sometimes they ain't even got $5 to eat. But it is what it is. In 2019, we have to do better all the way across the board. Mm-hmm. Some kind of insurance, life insurance policy, everything but $5 a month, and you got to, I ain't telling nobody to do no prostitution, but if you got to do what you got to do to pay that $5 a month just so that you can be cremated.
Here's the thing. This thing, if you living fast, if you know you doing what you got to do, you living fast, and you know you out there, honey, just think about whatever, just in case, honey. Yo, just in cases, girl. Yo, just in case. Bitch.
But that's where we are. I mean, next week, I don't know what our topic is going to be for next Tuesday. Something probably happened over the weekend to make me think of that. But am I my brother's, we're going to end the show, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Am I my sister's keeper? Yes, I am. We have to do better by each other. Because, you know, if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for us. With that being said, thank you, caller, for calling in. Justin.
Good morning.
Once I end the show, I'll give you a call in a few minutes.
All right.
So we will be back here next Tuesday at 10. I don't know what the topic will be. It'll come to me. But until then, enjoy the rest of your week, everyone. Be safe. Be blessed. Good night.